Thank you, Father. How many here like to be a child? You know, and I don't know. I don't hear it quite as often. I used to hear it a lot. But my sweet wife would say, Tim, grow up! Oh, I'm just a child at heart. But it's just a wonderful thing to stay as a child. To have that childlike faith that I can see the simplistic things of God and go, wow. He doesn't have to bowl me over or bowl me, whatever that is, with fantastic, just grandiose type things. I see the simplistic things of God and I just go, wow, God, that is awesome. That is so neat. I just see God and praising Him, and I've said it over and over again, and I'll never say it enough, how much I see God in everything out there. And I want to look at our verse. Well, the verse I'll share, and then we'll get into a little sidebars of it, okay? Mark 10:15. Now we find in Mark 10:15, all these adults, okay? You're turning to Mark 10:15. And in the beginning of 10, it talks about marriage and divorce, and if this happens and that, the one, and they remarry and all that. But I'm going to start in 13. And Mark 10:13, then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples, there's them guys hanging around Jesus. What did they do? They rebuked them, those that were bringing their children to Jesus. Don't bring them here. Oh, don't you know this is Jesus? No, he doesn't have time for them. But then Jesus in 14 saw it, and he was greatly displeased. And he says to them, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of God. In verse 4 or 15, assuredly I say this to you, and I'm adding this a little bit, this is a New King James, but I'm going to say, assuredly I'm saying this to you, pay attention you guys, listen up, whoever does not receive what? The kingdom of God as a little child will by no means do what? Assuredly I say whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child by no means enter into it. And then what did he do in 16? He took them up in his arms, he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. The kingdom of God is only for those who come to Jesus in the humble dependence and the trust of like that of a little child. The kingdom of God belongs to them, not because of merit, but because God wills to give it to the humble. This is a footnote in my study Bible. And the apparently insignificant are unimportant. Whoever. Jesus moves beyond the specific incident to the general principle. Whoever would come to him like that of a child. Now, so he's ministering to adults. He's ministering to sinners. He's ministering to some of the learned that didn't want to hear him because they were learned and they didn't need to hear anything from Jesus because they already knew about the things of God. But he says, come to me. So we're going to dig into that a little bit, the verse. But why is it that it's hard for adults to come to Christ? Why is it hard when you go witness? I mean, you can tell things to the kids out there and they'll say, okay. Do you believe it? Yeah. Oh, wow, okay. Go to an adult. Well, when we're dealing with adults, we're dealing with the disciples back then. They were looking at it as a side distraction to what Jesus was about. And I'm going to tell you, there is no side distractions to what Jesus is about when people are coming to him. Now, we might go out and want to witness and do whatever we got a plan to do, but when the Spirit shows up and it goes his way, who are we to say, wait, time out. this is not the way it should go. We had it all planned this way. I would believe we would hear through that of the Spirit to say, get away, leave them alone. I'm here and I'm gonna do it now. You've invited me in, let me have my way. But now, adults versus children, because we look at this in scriptures and we can see this a little bit as we go through some areas in the Bible. But life experiences, that's what affects us as adults, right? And that's understandable. We have life experiences and we have intellectual things now. We've gotten smarter, supposedly. We have personal inhibitions. We guard ourselves. We put a wall around us. We whatever we want to do. This is the adult, okay? It causes us to be on guard more, and it causes us to be less receptive to the gospel. We have doubts, disbelief. I've got maturity. I'm an adult. I've gone to school. I've read this. I see this. A lot of it is when we don't understand these things. That's why we disclaim it and say, well, it must not be God because I can't explain it. You can't explain God. Adults build a worldview that can conflict with a faith based on a simple trust because of, again, the experience. We build these things of a worldview. We encounter sufferings. How many here have encountered sufferings? Even Christians, we've encountered sufferings, right? Adults who have endured traumas, loss, or pain, they may struggle with this idea of, here's that word we talked in Sunday school, love, and the loving of that of Christ, the all-powerful God. The adults will say, why? Why do bad things happen to good people? I've had more of that from adults than I've had from children. The children see it, and I don't know, they just kind of like move on. But the adults will say, why do bad things happen to good people? That becomes a hurdle. That begins to build in them that they begin to put this little misnomer or just, I don't quite understand God, so I got to guard myself. How about hypocrisies and disappointed? How many adults here were in churches and knew of Christians and things and that you were hurt by the church? We want to invite them, come back to the church, come to the church. Where do you go? I go to church. Well, I'll never go there again. Never heard a child say that, heard adults say that. Children want to go to church. Children want to go to play. Children want to go to their Sunday school, you know? I mean, we've got kids, some of the kids that we have now, I mean, they just, you know, they started out in like P4Js and this and that and other, and now they're in kindergarten, and I'm just amazed, happily, that these kids are coming out, and I ask them, well, how was school today? Oh, it was fun! We did this, we did that. They enjoy going. They enjoy going to be with other kids, playing and learning and just that developmental type thing. But the hypocrisy, the disillusionment of adults they have with the people, with the churches, because of negative things. They have unanswered prayers. Adults have unanswered prayers, so we begin to get distance from God. Children never stop asking. Children always believe. It's just within them. They just, wow. Sometimes you can learn a lot by it from a child. Some have a persistent feeling, these are adults, that their prayers go unanswered can lead to doubt and disconnection from God. They feel that maybe God is too distant or God is silent. It makes it harder for them to rely upon His Word. And then as we mature, most adults are conditioned to become independent, aren't we? Do it! Grow up! Take the bull by the horns. We become self-reliant. I don't need God. I don't need prayer. I don't need the church. I don't need. Because I can do it. I can handle it. I'm going to make my own way. That might work for a while. It might work for a season. But inevitably, everybody upon this God's little green earth here will find a time when your ways aren't going to get you where you need to go. They don't want to give up control. Remember, come to me as little children. When we come to God, we are giving up control. Have me. Here I am. I'm all yours, God. A core aspect of Christian faith is submitting one's life to God. Adults who are used to managing their own affairs, their careers, their finances, their lives, they don't want to relinquish this control. Accountability for sin. A person who believes they can determine their own moral standards may find it difficult to accept the authority of God. They are recognizing their own sin and the need for forgiveness requires humility, which can be hard for those that are accustomed to taking responsibility for their own actions. We have to be accountable to our sin. Recognizing one's own sin and the need for forgiveness requires us to be humble. It's hard for those that are accustomed that we can do it on our own. Adults, unlike children, have highly developed faculties for critical thinking. Well, some do. And for reasoning. That can come barriers to faith. See, when they were bringing these little children to Jesus, his disciples, they were learned. They've been with him. They've seen his actions and things enact what Jesus was about. But they saw these people coming and the children, and they're thinking, they're going to be a distraction. They're going to take away from what Jesus wanted to accomplish. No, no, no. And Jesus had to set his own people straight. Boy, they have a barrier to that of faith when we're adults because of our critical thinking. Adults often look for illogical evidence to support their beliefs. That's a big thing because the concept of having faith is the unseen are the things in that supernatural events can clash with our modern things of being able to see in the materialistic and to see the things in before our own very eyes. Especially in this materialistic world. You know, adults deal with culture, where you've been raised, what you've been taught, philosophical biases. You know, we get into all this heavy learned stuff, philosophies of things. Our Western society has shifted away from traditional religious beliefs toward a secular humanism and postmodernism. These philosophies can take or make religious faith seem old-fashioned or irrelevant. Oh, you go to church still? Oh, you believe in God? God? What about adults are concerned with being judged by their own peers? Oh, don't want to let them know I go to church. Don't want to go to work and let them know that I pray. I want to just kind of hold it and keep it to myself. For some, accepting Christ can carry a social cost, the fear of being judged, ostracized, misunderstood by their peers, especially in increasingly secular environments, can hinder their belief. We're beginning to see a turn in that out here in the society, aren't we? Where people are standing up for the beliefs of Christianity. Sad to say, this event that happened a couple of weeks back with this Charles Kirk, and there's a memorial service today. But the things that have happened now have spread even more because of the atrocity that took place in this young life and what he was out there doing and sharing. But it's created an upsurge of things. It's created more interest. The college kids on campuses are not backing down. You know, they're still out there strong. Even on the campus where he was assassinated, the following Monday or Tuesday, he had classes, I think, begin again. And some were saying they were wearing his attire. They were wearing the shirts, the hats and things. And the announcer, the news person said, were you kind of concerned with wearing that type of hat, that shirt? And they were honest. Well, yes, at first I was. But I decided I needed to wear it. Need to make that stand. You need to make that. You got to draw the line in the sand. And not back down. But we find adults and things like that, our cultural biases, or we don't want to be out there, we want to kind of keep it to ourselves, fearing social judgments. Jesus praised childlike faith, but he was not praising childish. Don't be childish. Grow up. You have to mature, right? He says, you know, milk of the word is good. You need to start with that, but you got to start chewing on the meat of the word too. You got to move from the baby to that of an adult to the point of I can chew on God's word and learn from it and develop it in my life, and it helps me be stronger in his word. So don't be childish, but come to him like a child, like that of faith. He's emphasizing humility and trust and simplicity, uninhibited wonder that children often possess. I mean, my goodness. Just spend time with a child. many of us here that have grandkids and things, just spend time with them. And how they can make believe and turn everything into this or that, or they can become this or they can become that, you know. I remember those days. I remember when I could be Superman by just putting a towel around my neck and tying it and flying around my neighborhood. I didn't get off the ground very far, but my arms were always out like this. I mean, I was running, but my hands were out like Superman. I remember riding a horse, but my horse didn't need a lot of oats. It came with a head on a stick. You put it between your legs. But I went, brum, 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 brum. I making up these things that I was on a real horse. I was on the Superman. I was this. I was that. It's the imagination of a child. And we got to keep that same imagination. But what we imagine with the things of what God is that I know that my God can do these things. Far above, exceedingly, what I can believe. Because He's God. And that's where I want to come to Him as a childlike faith and see Him continue to perform and show me these things. Humility versus the pride. While children naturally trust and depend on their parents, adults often place their pride in their self-reliance and their own powers of intellectualness. Jesus taught that to enter the kingdom of heaven, one must take a lowly, humble position. Wonder versus cynicism. Children possess a natural sense of awe and wonder. Listen to a child, how they explain what they see. And they see a lot more sometimes than what I see. A natural sense of awe and wonder, which inspires that of worship. Adults, by contrast, they become cynical, numb to the miraculous. They see faith as mundane or boring. And then lastly, honesty versus pretense. Children are often brutally honest. Grandpa, you're a nut. Well, that pretty well clarifies it right there. Can't discount that. Children are often brutally honest about their feelings, but they also are honest with their needs and what they need. Many adults have learned to hide their struggles. We hide our needs. I can do it. I can handle it. I know I can't handle it. I know I can't do it, but I'm going to make a good face and make it look like I can. And as I'm making that face that I can handle it and do it, I'm drowning in it. It's overtaking me. It's sucking the life right out of me. But I'm going to be an adult. I'm going to stand, and I'm going to make it look like I'm handling it okay. So many adults have learned to hide their struggles behind that facade. It really makes it harder for them to admit their need for a Savior. So that's some of those things of adult versus that of a child. So let's dig into this a little bit here. When it talks in here about to receive the kingdom of God, this refers to accepting the gospel, God's rule, and the spiritual knowledge and blessings of His kingdom. Little children, come to me. Do not forbid them. In verse 14 and 15, I say to whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it. I should back up and say, truly I tell you, this phrase is signaling the importance of what Jesus is about to say. Truly I tell you. Truly I tell you. When Jesus says these things, they began to listen. It wasn't just like, oh, well, he's just going to ramble on. But he is saying, oh, I say to you, or truly I say this to you. Receiving the kingdom, I talked about this, refers to accepting the gospel, God's rule, and the spiritual knowledge and the blessings of this very kingdom he is speaking about. Like a little child, children demonstrate specific qualities in this context. They were just coming to him. The parents were drawing them and taking them up to have him just touch them. And Jesus did just that very thing. He took them up, what? In his arms. He laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. We think of dependency. A child depends on their parents for care and provisions. We too can provide, or we too can depend upon that of Jesus to provide these things to us. The provisions, our care. Humility is they don't presume that they're deserving blessings. We can't. I'm not, just because I live in America, it doesn't mean that I'm automatically blessed by that of God. I live by the collateral blessings of Him and being in a wonderful nation and things. But to really get His true blessings, I need to come to Him and personally receive Him and to get into His kingdom that way. The simplicity is they approach things without pride and prejudice. Trust, they have an inherent trust in the love of their parents. Receiving, they readily accept what they are given. How many times have you gone out and bought a wonderful gift for your child or grandchild or somebody, and they open it up and they look at it and they set it aside and they play with the box? Their mind begins to wonder about, look what I can do with this box. Look what it can become. I can do this, I can do that, I can crawl in it, I can put it together, I can make a fort, whatever the case is. They have this ability, my goodness, to receive things and just accept them as we are giving them to them. We need to do that with that of Christ. When Jesus gives the gift of life, we receive that, but we've got to believe that. You can't go and try to understand it or try to break it down as to why? How come? Well, why did he? Why? Why? Why did Jesus die for me? Because he loves you. No way. No way. There's got to be something else involved in it. When we do things for people, people are always looking at what do you want out of it. But Jesus says, I just want to give you that reconciliation back to that of God the Father. I love you. Jesus is saying that to us because God, through that of Jesus, is saying so that he so loved us, he gave his only son. When it talks about we'll never enter that in the kingdom, this means a person will not attain true spiritual knowledge of the gospel or be admitted into the kingdom, the eternity, the things of that of God. Because it says, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as little children will by no means enter it. I want to turn back to Matthew 18:3. In Matthew 18, it's beginning with the heading on mine, who is the greatest? At this time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and he says this in verse 3, Matthew 18:3. Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, therefore, whoever what? Humbles, there's that word. Remember, we talked about that in Mark. When we look at this, it's literally to make low. It's to lower oneself. It describes a person who is devoid of all arrogance and self-exaltation. It's a person who is willingly submitted to God and to that of God's will. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. This childlikeness of a character of the kingdom, Jesus confronts the tendency of humankind to associate authority with an exercise of dominance over others. To have authority, you've got to have dominance over someone else. Now I've got authority. The dominion or the authority in kingdom life God wants to reinstate in us is for victorious, fruitful living and for the overthrow of hellish powers, not for gaining control of others or for serving of our own interest. His call to a childlike humility and a servant-like heart, you can find that in John 13:1-17, establishes the spirit and style by which the authority of the believer is to be exercised as an agent of God's kingdom power. John 13. Let's just see what that all is about. This is the area of Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. If you want to see everybody get up and find a reason why they got to leave a sanctuary when it comes time for that, is tell them, okay, I want everybody to line up and take your shoes and socks off and we're going to wash your feet up here. You go, oh, great, I got crusties between my toes. What, oh, I got lint from my socks or whatever the case is. But there is really something about that as far as, we did that here a long time back where we had a foot washing and had pails up here. And the pastor and I don't know who all, but when you'd come up and sit there and wash your feet, run water over it, take a towel, dry it. Anyway. Now, before the feast of the Passover, this is John 13:1, when Jesus knew that his hour had come and that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. There's that love, love, love. In verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments. He took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured what? The water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he had been girded, which he was girded. Verse 6, then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus says to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now. What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter says to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter says to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. All of a sudden, he got a realization of what was being said there, huh? It's like, oh, don't just do my feet. I need to be pretty well dunked, you know, per se. But if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. And then verse 10, Jesus says to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but what? Not all of you. For he knew who would betray him, therefore he says, you are not all clean. Verse 12, so when he had washed the feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he says to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, and you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So we look at back in Matthew 18, 1 through 5, we've shared that about at this time the disciples came, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus said, a little child to him who set him in the midst of them. Okay? The way into the kingdom of heaven is by the simple trust and the dependence of a child. And the way to greatness in the kingdom is by the humility of a child expressed in humble service. Well, that humble service. As we receive Christ, as we are His, as we have been cleansed of our sins, as we come to Him as a little child of childlike faith, that I believe what he says, what he speaks about, he will do and he will fulfill. I don't have any doubt about that. I don't think anybody in here is doubting that, but I know there's some out there, even in some church areas, when you talk about it, some might say, well, I believe some of that, but not to the depth of that, per se, whatever the case is. And it's whatever the case is out there, okay? We got to worry about ourselves. You need to worry about yourself. We can look at all the examples out there. We talked in Sunday school about the lawless and people coming and how Satan himself and things will be out there and mirroring these things of what, you know, miracles and wonders and all this type of stuff to those that don't have love in their heart, and they will be just taken up with all of that. But there's a point in time to where you've got to know who you're serving. And you got to know that you know that you're a child of Christ and that Jesus Christ died for you and that you do have eternity waiting for you whenever that time comes that you're called home, that you will be taken back up to where the Spirit has come from. And when you're there, you will have a place there for eternity. And then when the second coming comes and how all that's going to unwrap and how it's going to unfold, God knows. And we have things in scriptures telling us about these things, but we'll come back and we'll do this. All I know is when I get to heaven, whatever I'll be worshiping and praising and all of these things, and then whatever my next goal is or whatever God has for me to do at that time, here am I. Here I am, Lord. Welcome back, Tim. Been a while. Enjoy it, whatever the case might be. And then we'll continue to do and follow whatever is left and whatever heaven is about. What is heaven about? No one knows. We got all kinds of dissertations of it and things of this and that, and it does share in revelations about what's up there, but then that gets kind of like, wow, your heads can spin. You know, sometimes it gets so much into that, and I don't think God's Word is meant to cause our heads to spin. I think God's Word is there till we receive it. And then, you know, in some of, even in the very simplistic things of God's Word, well, you know, when you first came to Christ and you received Him, did it take time to learn of Him? And you took the little simplest scriptures one by one. I got the scripture about, oh, He hung on the cross by His blood. My sins have been washed from me. I'm white as snow. God is not remembering these things. But then I began to walk that walk with Him, but I took time to walk that walk with Christ because I was a child. And in many respects, I'm still a child. But I'm also maturing in the areas of these things. You know, we've got children that mature, but they're still children. And I think sometimes we would tell them, don't get too big for your britches. So sometimes maybe in God's kingdom, somebody's like, don't get too big for your britches. You've still got things to learn. And I think we're all in here today saying, I've got still a lot to learn of God. But as I peel back this onion, and I look at scriptures little by little, and I read them and reread them again, years later, months later, times and seasons later, that they begin to mean a little different, a little deeper to what I need to know, that I begin to get a deeper sense of the trueness of, here again, that word that we speak so much of the love of God. The love of God. And we come to that level that all I know is His love for me. He just wants me to continue to keep digging into His Word. And if I don't understand it, ask the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is not at this point to where He feels I'm ready to receive it or I am going to be of understanding of it, or maybe I don't necessarily need it at that time, it will still be, I wonder what. I wonder what. And then time goes on. And I think when it's the time is right that I need to know, and I get back into that particular area of verbiage or scripture or story or book, and all of a sudden it comes like, oh, yeah. Now I have it. But we don't have it all. This is a gift that continues to unwrap itself. This is a, you know, we've talked about the Bible basic instructions before leaving earth. So many times when we buy things to put together, we want to just look at the picture on the box and try to figure out how to put it together. Because the instructions are sometimes hard to decipher. Sometimes people do that with the Word of God. They want to look at this and they have it and they glean through it and they go, okay, I got it. Okay, I got it now. I can do this. I think I know what I'm doing. It's supposed to kind of be like this and mirror this, and my life should be kind of like that. And, yeah, I can pray when that happens. But, well, then I need to do this. And we begin to run that way, and we put the instructions down. But we only learn that it's only when we begin to open up the instructions, continue to keep them open and dog-eared. And, you know, many of us, you know, as our Bibles start falling apart and this thing here, my pages and my back, all of a sudden my binding is unbound. And I open it up and my maps go all over the place. But it's because you keep reopening the instructions and you dig a little deeper to figure out this situation that happened in my life just recently. are you're just in times with God, and He's taking you on a deep walk with Him, and you're going like, I don't really know if I don't know. This is good to know. Do I really need to know this? And then lo and behold, sometime next week it happens. Tomorrow it happens. And it's like, oh, God was preparing me for that. And we can have some very basic understanding of God's Word that keeps us grounded in His Word, right? But then there's those times that we need to continue to dig back into His Word and trust His Word as that of a child and believe that what His Word says, He means. I don't have to believe it to the point of I don't have to understand it, but I need to, yes, believe it and trust it and to know that He has not designed any of us to fail. He's not put you here so that you can have a hard life. He's put you here to be His example. He needs people out here in the fields, the highways, the byways, right? He needs people like Charles Kirk out there. Yeah, he did phenomenal things. Again, in the past, I didn't know much about him, but I do now. But this person was out there doing so much of both sides of the things. Yes, some political things, and just whatever that is to help people begin to think on your own. But he spoke highly of his Creator. And his one thing that he always wanted to be known for was his service to that of God, and that the love of God, and that we need to receive Him, and we need Jesus in our life, and we need to walk in that love, and we need to not be afraid of that. And yes, in the book, it talks about some will be martyrs for that of His stand. Now, what took Him out? Was it His political things, or was it His Christian morality things? He got a lot of questions in regards to morality in several years now because of how things have happened in our country and on college campuses. Many of his things, they would ask about all kinds of things, but a lot of it wasn't really, I couldn't say, I don't know what. I just, bits and pieces I've listened to, okay? But the things that I've kind of tapped into is a lot of it was people were talking about the moralities of life. And do you really believe that there should be this or that against abortion? Do you really believe that there is a God? Do you really believe that there's this and there's that out here? What about homosexuality and gay lifestyles and this and that? I think it was like similar to what people were probably could have been asking Jesus. And I'm not putting Him up there in the level of Jesus. We're not putting Him out there as an idol. But you look at a young man of this caliber and his age and how he learned and developed. It was kind of like self-taught, but he was self-taught by that, I believe, the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit brought him into these things. And he just took it, I think, like childlike faith of what God's Word says of what sin is sin, what's right is right. There's no debating it. Even though he would debate it, but he would try to bring them back, like, what do you say? What is your thoughts on that? So we are all out there. We should all be out there like that. We'll never have probably that level of what he had. But when you see a young man like that or a young woman out there expressing those things, it makes us all should stand up a little bit and go, wait a minute. We're all charged with that responsibility in your own little part of this world, right? Where God has planted us, where God has planted you, whatever the case might be, is to be that light, that armor of light, that light that shows love. Even in Charlie's talks with people and how much they could say, I hate you or I don't believe this or whatever, he would always come back with love and I will pray with you. And pretty soon I would hear kids that go up there, they were totally against it, but then they would start listening and they would, well, oh, okay, I can see that or whatever the case might be. It's just having a conversation. And that's what we are to have, is a conversation. But now, you know, we're looking at going out there having conversations with people, but God's Word, or the Word right here, what we're sharing and reading about, you know, come to Him as children. Childlike faith. I think before they get there, sometimes we got to show love to them. And we've got to come alongside to a point to have a relationship. If that's where God has you and God's planted you, you've got to develop and build a relationship to be able to speak into someone's life, to really do it beneficial. You can share the gospel, plant a seed, plow the ground, prepare the soil. That's okay. Somebody will seed it and somebody will water it. But we all just need to be able to take that and be able to go out there and pray, Lord, as I share these things, Lord, I pray that they just receive it like that of a child. Because in totality, we are all children. You might be 80 years old, but you're a child. Why? Because the Spirit goes on forever. It's forever and ever and ever. Didn't know how that was all going to fit into that, but I guess as we look at God's Word and what we're to do with it, I would encourage you to, even in our ages and how long we've been with Him, come to Him with childlike faith, childlike trust. If He said He'll do it, He'll do it on His time. But yet, while I'm waiting, I'm going to praise Him. While I'm waiting, I'm going to thank Him. While I'm waiting, I'm going to have conversations with Him. And I'm going to see His magnificence around me. And not have doubt, but have belief. Have belief like that of a child. Amen? Thank you, Lord. My Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your time with us today. I thank You, Lord, for the truthness of Your Word. Lord, I thank You that Your Word for us, if we would just receive it as it is not hard. We begin to add so much to it to make it a little difficult, to make it a little bit harder to grasp. But Lord, Your Word is simple. You want us to come to You, and Lord, we just want to come and receive You as a child. And yes, grow and mature. But Father, we come to You with that childlike faith. I don't understand everything. I don't even know how everything is going to turn out at times, in even our own personal lives. But I know that You have us on a path. And I believe it is a good path. Oh, yeah, there's going to be adversities. There's going to be situations that will come up against us. But I truly believe, Lord, You will always get us through it if we continue to rely upon You. That we don't falter. That we don't go running to and fro and losing our trust in You. And losing our love for You. Because, Lord, I know that Your love for us is always there. Bless each one here today. Continue to encourage us. Continue to be patient with us. Continue, Lord, to lead us by that of the Holy Spirit. We love You, Lord. We need You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.